Appreciate that humble prayer. And I will confess, my family used to sing a song, "I Need the Prayers of Those I Love." And that's true all the time. Certain times in our lives or whatever, it seems like we need them more. Our minds have been focused on another subject. We're gonna leave Acts alone for a little bit, and I'd like for you to turn to the 46th Psalm. The 46th Psalm. And I'd like to read the entire Psalm to you. It's only 11 verses, and I'm going to read it without commenting. Ask your prayers. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttereth his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the ends of the earth. He breaketh the bow, he cutteth the spear in sunder, he burneth the chariots in fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Don't know that I've ever taken this text or this chapter and just tried to study it, referred to it a lot of times, but just to try to have it as our focus of study. If I have, I don't remember ever doing it. But with activities that we see, and not only the things that are public, there's a lot of things that are private that are troubling people. Whether they be problems in families, whether they be problems at work, whether they be problems of other kinds. All of us, no doubt, have problems that we encounter in this life. We suffer the things that are common to man, and therefore we're subject to the things that are subject to any man, whether they be health, whether they be finance, whatever they might be. We are subject to those things. Some of you know that more than others by things that's happened in your families, by death or various things. So if the Lord help us, I'd like to share with you some thoughts I've had on this 46th Psalm. I won't try to cover all the verses, just certain aspects of it. And we'll see how far we get. Might be in the next 5 minutes I'll tell you everything I know about it, but we'll see where we go. God is our refuge and strength. God is. David, writing this, you think he would have any reason to know anything about that particular text? Here's a man that was hunted by a king that he loved and desired to serve. Yet jealousy arose, and that king, which was King Saul, turned his anger and his jealousy and sought to kill David. Memory serves me right, twice, I believe, David was at his bedside, at King Saul's bedside, while the king was sleeping and could have easily slayed him. He was just there and no one to protect him. And David trying to show, he's not going to kill the Lord's anointed, the king. It didn't matter. Saul was jealous. Interesting thing is that Saul had a son named Jonathan. And Jonathan and David were as close as any two men that you can think of in the Bible. Loved one another and cared for one another and provided for one another. And that put Jonathan in kind of a particular touchy situation because his dad sought to kill his best friend. And so I think he knew whereof he spoke. I remember hearing Elder Mark Green make this statement once. He says, if you want to know the danger of touching a hot stove, talk to a man that has scars on his hands from doing that. And there's some truth in that. You don't have to go through that, you understand. But in going through that, he can tell you the experience of doing or experiencing that particular pain. David had more to say on this. We can find over in 61 maybe or 62 Psalms, division of the Psalms. Let me see if I can find it. 62nd Psalm. First couple of verses, 1 and 2. 62nd Psalms, 1 and 2. Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From Him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. And drop down to the latter part of that psalm, a couple of verses down, the fifth verse of the 62nd psalm says, my soul, like he's talking to his soul, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense, I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Salah. You ever hear people talk about self-talk? Well, that's what he's doing right there. He's telling his soul. He's reminding his soul. Why? Because he's troubled. He's fearful. He's worried. He's fretting. He is anxious. Just be still. Just be still. I think that it is logical, and please don't misunderstand me, but it's logical for a person that thinks he is active in his own eternal salvation to worry. I think it is. I remember talking to Elder Danny Loy, who's a preacher in Arkansas, and he was raised of another order all of his life and went Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday afternoon for 18 or 19 years. And when he married a Primitive Baptist, and well, she wasn't Primitive Baptist then, but married one who was raised Primitive Baptist and got to know the Primitive Baptist and got asking questions, et cetera, et cetera, he started sharing with me. And he said, Brother Sonny, I did everything they told me to do. I went to the mourner's bench. I said the prayer I was supposed to say. I did every, in fact, I did it more than once. I did it 3 or 4 times. And for a little bit, it kind of helped me. But that didn't last long because I began to wonder, did I do it right? It's a good question. Did I do what I was supposed to do in a right manner? And there was a doubt in his mind whether he could do anything, quote, right, end quote. See, it would be logical for a person like that to have all kinds of worries and frets and so forth that you as old Baptist, it's not logical, or me, it's not logical for us to have. Now, why would I say that? Because there's liberty in the truth. There's something that you can understand about God by understanding the truth. What God does is absolutely consistent with who God is. And the more we understand about what God does, the more we're understanding about God. Now, let me show you what I mean. We'll go over to Hebrews, 6th chapter, I believe it is, of Hebrews. Very familiar scripture, but I think it serves a point for what we're trying to get to. 6 and 17. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. What's that saying? He wants to show the heirs of promise how sure things are. The immutability, the unchangeableness of his counsel. See, the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. It's not talking about your repentance. It's talking about God turning away from what he promised to do. He cannot do that. It is impossible for God to turn away from what he has promised to do. So he, not only to show that, he entered into an oath with Abraham so that we might be able to understand some things that without that we would just wonder about. That by two immutable things, what? His counsel and his oath. Let me read it again. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by, in my opinion, those two immutable things, his counsel and his oath, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation. We might be consoled. We might be comforted. Who hath fled for what? Refuge. Refuge. My friends, if the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is not a refuge, you'll not find one on this earth. It is the place of refuge. It's a place of rest. It's a place that we can hear what God has done and how sure that is and how steadfast that is, how it's impossible to change, and there's nothing that can stop God from working his will among the armies of the heaven and the inhabitants of the earth. Nothing can stay his hand or saying to him, Jehovah, why doest thou? And it was his good pleasure, my friends, not only to save you, but now here in time to show you how you are saved, whereby we might know the assurance of that. Do you need assurance? I do. Song that some blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. We need assurance in this life, especially when we're faced with crazy stuff. My daughter called me, and she doesn't normally do this, my oldest daughter. She doesn't normally do this. She says, Daddy, the world's just going crazy. I said, yes, it is, hon. What do you expect? That's what this world does all the time. Goes crazy somewhere along the lines. It's just more obvious right now, but it is. It's going crazy. People are just frantic. Now, please don't misunderstand me. There's reason to have concern, and we need to do everything that's within our ability to do that we have reason in our mind or by what we've read or studied to do it. I'm not discouraging that at all. But what I am saying, my friends, don't be so engaged in that you're just worrying. Fret not thyself. Don't worry. Who's that helping? Who's worried? Who benefits from worry? Only one I can think about is Satan that benefits from that. Try to cause doubt, try to cause concern, have you running around this way and that way, and you know what you lose? You lose peace. You lose rest. You lose comfort. But it's not just a virus somewhere that causes that. Health? Not our health, our loved ones. Not only that, gross sin in the lives of people that we love and are close to. Not only that, memories of things that have happened in the past, worries about what's going to happen in the future, etc., etc., etc. If you want to find trouble, you'll find it. I got something better. Instead of looking for trouble, look for what the Lord has already done for you. That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, that you might have a strong, not just a consolation, a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge, to lay hold. You don't lay hold upon it, you're not going to get it. We're not talking about things that's going to affect eternity, my friend. We're talking about right here and right now. Lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. Which hope we have as what? As an anchor. You know why ships have anchors, don't you? Well, yeah, Brother Sonny, keep them still. Yeah, how about that? To keep them still. You know when they oftentimes they would use them when they're in a storm. And they would drop anchor to help hold them. And then when they couldn't, or if it was too deep, they still drop that anchor and head right into that storm. Not try to skirt this way or that way and get rocked and so, head right into it. Oh, my friends, there's something to be learned there. You want it in its simplicity? I do. Christ said, have faith in God. Well, one of them said, well, increase our faith. No, you don't get it. You don't get it. Everybody has the measure of faith that's been born again. You don't need more faith. What we all need is to exercise the faith we do have. It's like muscles in a body. Whether somebody's extremely strong or extremely weak, they have the same number of muscles in their body. Some exercise and some don't. Some exercise their faith and some don't. This is a good week to exercise your faith. This is a good time to look beyond what this whole world, not just the United States, this whole world is looking at, and put your eyes upward. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whether the forerunner for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So what am I telling you to do? Same thing I need to do. I have a lot of the same fuss in my mind as you do yours. But here's what we need to do. 1 Peter 5. No one leave this day and say, Brother Sonny didn't tell us what to do. I'm telling you right now what to do. It's very easy to understand and it's very hard to do it. It's against nature to do it. But you know who a lot of times it's not against the nature of a child. A child will do it just like that. All of you were wonderful parents, I'm sure, when you first had children. Not me. I had to learn and never did get very far down the road. Had a good wife, but I didn't get very far. But I learned by Amy, bless her heart. I learned by, and I remember when she started walking. Now, y'all, did See if you did the same thing. I put my finger down like that, and she grabbed onto my finger, and here we go. And I'd watch her, and I was so she tottering around. And when she tripped, what do you think she did? Yeah. Why? Nature. She let go of my finger. Down she went. One time we were like Friday, she hit plant a face plant on cement, and both eyes were black. We were going to a church meeting, and I had to do a lot of explaining. No abuse going on here. And I'll be, before that meeting was over, she did the same thing again, right there in the church. Boom. I learned. I put my finger down. She'd grab onto it, then I'd grab onto her. And then she stumbled and she tried to let go. I wouldn't let go. My friends, that's your Lord. We often try to push away from Him thinking we got it. We can handle it. But the Lord doesn't let go of us, my friends. You're never outside of His thought. You're never outside of His eyesight. He knows all about you. And He knows your downsettings and your uprisings. So, much more could be said. For time's sake, let's go back to 46th chapter of Psalms. What we tried to show thus far is God is our refuge and strength and a very present help. Very present help. Remember that. Therefore will we not fear, nor though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the seas, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake and the swelling thereof. You know, talking to that, our brother Ronald Lawrence, talking to that brother, his first name was Bill, brother Bill, that was in the tornado and everything. When they interviewed him on, I think, ABC News and a couple other news stations. They interviewed him a couple of times. Good story. They like to hear that. And, you know, he was very calm. They talked about it. He explained what happened. He wasn't, I mean, I show more emotion than that talking about anything. He's just very calm. It's okay. We'll make it. We have family and we have church and we'll make it. Next, fourth verse. There is a river. There is a river. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. Present help in time of trouble. Who's he talking about? The church. Her. God is in the midst of her. God has his eyes on the whole world and all his people. But I tell you, my friends, his church, the apple of his eye, his church, he hears, he sees, he even, it's scripture, he even sings with us, in the midst of the congregation. He's here. He's present. Never forget. Sometimes he seems far off. No, it's us who have drifted. He's right where he's always been. He's here. In the midst of a river. A river. Let's see. Let's go to Revelations. Well, yeah, let's go to Revelations. 22nd chapter of Revelations, John talking. And he showed me a pure river of life. Clear as a crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, there was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruit, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation. What do you think that's talking about? It's Christ, my friends. It's Christ. Let me go one other place real quick. Let's go to Ezekiel, I believe it is. I don't guess I'll go there quick. 47th chapter of Ezekiel. And I'll just start with the second verse there. 47 and 2. Then he, God, brought me, Ezekiel, out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the utter gate by the way that looketh eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits. And he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankles. And he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the knees. And he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the loins. And he measured 1,000 and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. What do you think that's representative of? Of God's love, of God's mercy, of God's grace. It's unmeasurable. Just God's love, my friend. No man can measure it. The height, the depth, the length, the breadth of the love of God, that passeth understanding. How are you going to measure that? My friends, it simply means it abounds. And this flows in a special way to the church, where the tree of life is, where Christ is preached. Not a wannabe Savior. Not a Savior that's wringing his hands, wanting to get everybody that he died for into heaven. He's already accomplished that work on the cross. Now a time just needs to pass. A river. Let's go back to Psalms again. Notice, if you would, you have your Bibles, the 7th verse, 46 and 7. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Salah. Now, turn to the last verse, the 11th verse. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Salah. Same identical words. I think he wants us to get that, don't you? He's with us. As we begin to think about that, let's go to Psalms, I believe it is, 84. Just one verse, 84 and 4. Blessed, 84 and 4 Psalms. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. What a beautiful verse of scripture. Still. Did it cross anybody's mind whether we're going to actually have church today with all of this? We hope to be found still praising our Lord. Now it might get to a point where it's illegal to meet. Good. It's not impossible. It's happened in our history. But we are still. Who else can offer a praise of worship in obedience and worship Him. Listen, worship Him in spirit and in truth. It's God's house. It's God's church. It's what He established while He was here for 30 some odd years. And it's still here. And the miracle is, well, this way. The Lord led me to my master's house. It's wonderful to feel that you're here because God has led you here. And all of us, whether we were raised in it or whether we married and found out about it then or whatever, all of us had to come to a point in our minds that it is the place we want to be. It's the Lord's church. We go back here to Chronicles, I believe it is. 1 Chronicles. It's still in the Bible, I promise you. Okay. Last chapter of 1 Chronicles. All right. See if I can find what I want. Here it is. It's talking about David. And 10th verse. 29th chapter of 1 Chronicles, 10th verse. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. Can you imagine what that would happen today? Anyway, bless the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom. There's the church. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honors comes from thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. My friends, God is able. God is able. He's still on His throne. God is able. I'd be remiss if I didn't go to the 33rd chapter of Deuteronomy. 26th verse. There is none like unto the God of Jezreel. You know what that is? It's a pet name for Israel. I didn't know that till this morning. It's a pet name for Israel. There is none like unto thee, the God of Jezreel, who rideth upon the heavens in thy help and in his excellency on the sky. Listen, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. You are in the best place that you could be in this life. And underneath are the everlasting arms of our Lord. I want to go two more places. Let's go to Isaiah, 40th chapter of Isaiah. Now I'm going to read a little bit here. Bear with me if you would. 40th chapter of Isaiah, and I'll start with the 9th verse. Could start before, but I'll start with the 9th. O Zion, church, O Zion that bringeth good tidings, get thee up into the high mountains, O Jerusalem, that bringeth good tidings. Lift up thy voice with strength, lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. That's the reason we shouldn't fear. Behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Listen to the language. Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, hath taught him? Can you imagine such a thing? One trying to teach the Lord. Do you know people do that all the time? Trying to educate the Lord, trying to tell the Lord he's made a mistake, or tell the Lord he needs to do this, who can direct the Spirit? It's like the wind that bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell from whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. God does whatever God wants to do, my friends. He works all things after the counsel of his own will. With him took he counsel. And who instructed him? And have taught him the path of judgment, and have taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding. 15th verse. Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket. I looked that up today, thought I knew what it's talking about. Here's what it says. I had reason to mix stuff in a bucket yesterday, and chemicals and so forth and so on, what I was doing. And it's just a little droplet. That's after you empty the bucket. And then just a little drop that comes out. What I was mixing was yellow when you got it all mixed up. And you could tell everywhere it went. Just a little. That's what the drop. All nations are just like that little tiny. No matter how big the bucket is, they all have a drop left in them. All nations, the world. Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing. Where can you hear that today? We're something. Look what we've done. Well, we've sent money here and saved 1,000 souls. Look, all of it. As far as helping the Lord, you know how he counts our works? As far as the saving of his people eternally? All in unbelief. All in unbelief. That he might have mercy upon all. It's a wonder that he even takes notice of us. But the love wonder of heaven, my friends, not only took notice of us, he died for us. And not only is he a savior of the elect, he is your personal savior. He knows you all together. He knows you better than you know you. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are accounted to him less than nothing in vanity. To whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare unto him? The workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold, and casteth silver change. He that is so impoverished that he has no oblation, nothing to offer, he chooses a tree that will not rot. Now, let me just ask you a question. Isn't all that already the Lord's? Doesn't the Lord already own the trees? Doesn't he already own the gold and the silver and so forth? Every time I say something like that, I remember this. I've always kind of cringe a little bit. When my kids were growing up and they wanted to buy me something, you know, And I thought, okay, I know where that money's coming from. What are they going to buy me? My point is, my friend, what are you going to offer God that's not already God's? It's like the story about he and the devil having a discussion one time. The devil says, I can do anything you can do. He says, okay. He says, you made man, I made man. He says, okay. And he started to get some dust up, and he said, wait a minute, use your own dust. Who made the dust? God! What does Satan make? Nothing! Except trouble and confusion and fear and chaos. God is a God of order. And he's given to the church to know some things, my friend, so that when we're thrust in situations, we should remember from whence we are called. Yes, concern. No, chaos. It's one thing to worry. It's something else to come under the power of it. Not that any of you have done that. 21st, have you not known? Have you not heard? Had it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundation of the earth? You know, when I read that and then read what comments, I should have. But we forget sometimes. It is he that setteth upon the circle of the earth. And the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. By the way, you want an example of that? Remember when Peter was on the housetop praying? Remember there, that we'll eventually get to maybe in 10th chapter of Acts. He was on the housetop. What did it say happened? It said it was as a sheep let down, gathered on the four corners. It's like a tent came around him. Ain't no big deal for the Lord. That bringeth the princes to nothing, he make the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. And he also shall blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will ye liken me? Or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. Talking about the stars and so forth. He calleth them all by names by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speaketh, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fail. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of an eagle. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. That's a lot of reading, but it's a lot of good stuff. Let me go one more place. Still got 5 minutes. Let me go one more place. Jeremiah. Psalms, Proverbs. Okay, Jeremiah. If I can find it. There. 17th. No, 30. Well, I thought it was 17th. It is 17th. 17th. This is so clear. He tells us, don't be like this. And he tells us to be like this. Now, anyone should be able to understand that if they're listening. Don't be like this. Be like this. So, let's read that. 17th chapter. 5th verse. Thus saith the Lord, cursed. Now, this is the Lord doing the speaking. When the Lord says somebody's cursed, it'd be good to pay attention to it. Cursed be the man that trusteth in man. This world is eaten up with that. Eaten up with it. Cursed be the man that trusteth in man, that maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departed from the Lord. You know what he's like? For he shall be like the heath in a desert, a tumbleweed that just blows around wherever the wind goes. Just bloop, goes that way, and then goes that way, just wherever the wind blows. You've seen some of those pictures in West Texas when the wind completely gums up the road. People can't travel on it. Gets under the cars. That's a man that trusteth in man. For he shall be like a heath in the desert. And listen to this. This is everywhere. And shall not see when good cometh. You know why they can't see? They're busy being blown around to and fro. Being caught up with that and caught up with this and caught up with that. All in fear and all in worry and all in, oh, what shall we do? But shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabiteth. Don't be that. Contrary to that, 7th verse, 17 and 7 of Jeremiah, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he, unlike the heath, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters. What a good place to be planted. Where your roots can go where the water is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters that stretcheth forth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when the heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. So much in this. So much to learn. So much for me to learn. I'll leave you with a verse of a song that I wrote out because I wanted to read it to you just like it is. Something you all know, but I think it tries to summarize what I've been saying. Within thy circling power I stand. You know, if it's circling, you can't get out of it. It's all around you. Elect, this is true. Church, we ought to know it. Elect might not know it. They might be trying to get into the love of God and not rest, because there's always labor. You got to do this, got to do that. Got to remain out faithful for you'll fall from an everlasting grace, so they say. No. Within thy circling power, I stand. On every side, I find thy hand. Wherever I look, awake, asleep, at home, abroad, I am surrounded still with God. You have a wonderful opportunity. These opportunities don't come around very much. Right now, this world is on fire with worry. I'm not saying don't be concerned. I'm not saying don't do the things that make sense to do. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is you're still within the circle of God's power and God's love, and His hand is there. And whatever might befall, that won't change. Job says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. We're not in any dire strait whatsoever. We're in the hands of a living God. All of us might get it. I don't know. But if we do, the Lord will either lead us to it or take us to heaven. What's wrong with that? It's okay. It's all right. I'm going to use the hand wash. I'm going to rinse out my nose, gargle with salt water. I'm going to do all that. I'm going to do what I think is right for me to do. You do what you want. But never lose sight of where you stand in the midst of the unmeasurable power of God. I don't think it was this way, but it could have been. That when he made the oceans, he just dipped up some dirt, flung it with his hands, and there were the Rockies. I don't think that's what happened, but it could have been. He had power to do that very thing. We don't even begin to understand the depth of power. And you stand encircled with that power. We're in the hand of Christ, who is in the hand of God. God help us as we go through this, however long it might be, but never become discouraged. It's going to be all right after a while. Perhaps we'll see deliverances that we've never viewed before. Perhaps, as Brother Seth prayed, perhaps this nation will turn to God. Perhaps there'll be an end gathering in the churches. Perhaps. What awaits you? Only God knows. Song, I don't know about tomorrow, et cetera, et cetera. But I know who holds tomorrow. And you and I can rest in that. May God bless you, sir.